It is Tuesday, August 18th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Michael Lippin in Washington. Coming up, leading U.S. presidential contenders Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton see their political fortunes diverge. Poor women in the Philippines struggle to take advantage of a year-old law designed to help them with family planning. And we'll find out how the U.S. military is developing a new way for soldiers to recharge portable gadgets in the field.
It's a very interesting device for harvesting the energy from very low wind.
That and more on International Edition. Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Hillary Clinton are currently the two frontrunners for their party's nominations for the 2016 U.S. presidential election. But their political fortunes seem to be diverging at the moment, with Trump getting a boost from the latest opinion polls and Clinton getting bogged down by a controversy over her use of private email in her former role as U.S. Secretary of State. Earlier, I sat down with VOA's national correspondent, Jim Malone, and asked him what the polls say about Trump's prospects.
We've got a couple of polls, national polls, we're looking at that show, again, Donald Trump in the Republican field doing pretty well. He leads with, depending on which poll you look at, 24-25% of the vote. In one poll, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush is second. In another poll, it's the retired neurosurgeon Ben Carson, a newcomer. What we're interesting to note here is that the non-politicians like Donald Trump, Ben Carson, and to some degree Carly Fiorina, the former CEO, are doing quite well. People seem to be looking for something different on the Republican side. They want a fresh approach. They don't want the old political approach we've seen. And I think you combine Trump's billionaire status, the fact he doesn't have to take campaign donations, with his blunt style, and you've got someone who's tapping into this anger and frustration in the country that to them is refreshing, and that's why Trump continues to do well.
Is there a feeling from these latest polls that Donald Trump's position is strengthening or just solidifying at the moment?
Good question. I think for many, he's holding on to the support he has. He's not showing a lot of signs of growth, though, and that's going to be an issue moving forward. How does he expand his appeal? He came out with details of his immigration plan. It talks about deporting millions of illegal immigrants. It talks about doing away with birthright citizenship, something we've had in this country since the 1800s. So that was something deemed almost too controversial for Republicans in the 2012 election and hurt Mitt Romney.
But not maybe, perhaps not for Donald Trump.
Well, right. And so it's going to be a test. The more he reveals about his policy plans in detail, the more challenged he'll be by his rivals. Now, some of them are kind of following in his footsteps because they don't want to anger that base of support he's generating. But I think as the debates move on, we're going to see more Republicans eager to take him on in a frontal way because they need to somehow puncture into that support he's showing.
Well, let's look at the Democratic side now, and Hillary Clinton's still the front runner. But tell me about some of the problems she's been having with the email situation.
This email controversy, which dates back to her time as Secretary of State, continues to dog her. There are new developments each week as investigators look at whether any classified material was compromised in the exchange of emails. She has said from the beginning that, as far as she knew at the time, nothing was classified that she dealt with. The problem is there's no clear resolution to this in sight, and it has played or fueled the fears that she's not as trustworthy as some of the other candidates. That's reflected in the polls. And for now, it's distracting Hillary Clinton from dealing with issues like college education and the economy that she wants to highlight. And it's helping some of her rivals, especially Senator Bernie Sanders, who's developing quite a following among liberal progressive Democrats.
Great. Well, thank you to our national correspondent, Jim Malone, for sharing your insights.
My pleasure, Michael.
Well, let's stay with the U.S. election polls for our social media segment. International Edition's G. Abby Lee is with me in the studio now for that. Hi, G. So what have you found out about those polls on social media?
Hi, Michael. So One thing you know for sure is that Donald Trump has been retweeting a lot today. And one of the tweets he shared is from MSNBC's Morning Joe. And the Morning News program is on Twitter at @morning_Joe. It tweeted a screen capture of the CNN ORC poll result and tagged Donald Trump, Jeb Bush, and Ben Carson, the three leading contenders. That's been retweeted more than 600 times and marked as a favorite nearly 1,000 times in the last 8 hours. Michael, there's another topic Trump tweeted twice about today, and can you guess what it is?
How about immigration? That's one of his big issues.
Definitely, but I'm actually talking about his official hashtag Make America Great Again merchandise, especially the hat.
Oh, the hat.
You've seen the hat, and everyone else has too. He tweets a lot about the hat, and apparently, according to his own words, they're selling really fast.
Well, how popular is his hashtag Make America Great Again? It's kind of long, isn't it?
It is, but it was used in almost 8,000 tweets during the last 24 hours and about 110,000 times in the last 30 days.
What about the other U.S. presidential hopefuls like Bush and Carson? Did they tweet about the poll results today?
No, not really. As you know, even Bush is trailing far behind Trump. And since Jim mentioned Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders in the Q&A, I just wanted to say that Sanders has 348,000 followers on Twitter, and Clinton has more than 4 million. Trump has about 3.8 million followers on Twitter. Michael?
Well, Sanders has a long way to go to catch up, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for that analysis, G. And that was G. Abby Lee. And she is on Twitter at G. Abby Lee. And you can follow us on Twitter, too. The show is at VOA_IE. This is VOA.
Health news and notes. This is Living Better.
A heat wave in the Middle East is being blamed for dozens of deaths in Egypt and sending hundreds of people to the hospital. Jordan, too, is feeling the heat. This worker in Amman says he's reworked schedules because of the weather.
We work in the morning, rest at noon, then continue our job at night.
Extreme summer weather poses serious health risks. So to keep safe, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention suggest preparedness as its number one tip, especially if you're caring for children, older adults, or those with chronic medical conditions. Make sure they can get to a cooler area on a hot day. The CDC also warns not to leave children or pets inside of a car on a hot day. When it's parked in the sun, temperatures can soar to 55 to 78 degrees Celsius. Earlier this year in India, more than 2,000 people died in a stifling heat wave. More than 1,000 died in Pakistan. I'm Philip Alexiou for VOA's Living Better.
I'm Michael Lippin, and you're listening to VOA's International Edition. We're going to take a look at the financial markets now, and one particular commodity that's used in a lot of industries and became even cheaper today. I spoke earlier with our business correspondent in New York, Alexis Christophorus, to find out what's been driving down the price of copper.
Well, for today at least, copper stole the headlines away from oil and gold, and we saw copper futures dip below the psychologically important $5,000 level for the first time since the financial crisis. And copper is used in so many different ways by large industrial companies, auto companies for their wiring and piping. So it's a well-used commodity and metal. And copper's decline comes as all metal prices, as we know, continue their steep slide from the boom peaks of 2011. As with other base metals, copper has suffered from the oversupply that followed the boom and now from concerns over future demand from China, which, by the way, consumes around 45% of the metal. According to a Bank of America Merrill Lynch survey, the worst may be over for commodities, and the buyers may be ready to jump back in and scoop up bargains. The bank's survey of fund managers suggests capitulation could be at hand, which means that many traders at one time are exiting a particular asset class, and that creates bargains. So the survey suggests all the selling we've seen in commodities over the summer could give way to a commodities rally by the fall. We'll have to see, Michael.
Right. I'd like to also turn our attention to a U.S. company called Airbnb that provides alternatives to hotel accommodation for Americans. I understand they're making moves into China. What can you tell us about that?
Well, Michael, Airbnb, which is a San Francisco-based home sharing site, has been in China for about a year and a half now. And what it does is it allows everyday people, not hotel owners, to rent out their abodes, whether they're homes or apartments, to people who may be traveling in that area and are looking for accommodations. And they're trying to hook up with a couple of different Chinese companies. They've already partnered with Sequoia China and China Broadband Capital to find a CEO for its China operations. And Airbnb and its Chinese partners helped LinkedIn flourish in China. They declined to say how much the firms invested. The latest round valued Airbnb at $25.5 billion. And this company seems to be growing in China. The number of Chinese guests renting rooms through Airbnb rose 700% in just the past year alone, making China the fastest growing outbound market for the company. Michael?
All right. Alexis Christophorus in New York, thank you for that update.
My pleasure.
In the Philippines, a year-old law that was aimed at helping the poor with family planning is facing some new challenges. Philippine health service providers are dealing with a recent Supreme Court order curbing some free contraception for the poor in the majority Catholic nation. Simone Orendine has that story from Manila.
The delivery ward at the Philippines' largest public maternity hospital is filled by rows of beds with mothers in hospital gowns. Some women breastfeed while others try to calm crying newborns. At the Joseph Fabella Memorial Hospital in Manila, these women will be out in a day, and counselors have little time to let them know about family planning.
Panglima, nag-family planning ka? Ito pang lima mo kambal.
Dr. Esmeraldo Ilam heads Comprehensive Family Planning Services at Fabella, which includes options from natural methods of birth control to artificial contraception. He says most of the mothers here are poor and have five children on average. A few say they have opted for some form of contraception after giving birth. Ilam says the new law that provides for free contraceptives to the poor has been a great help.
For the 1 year that the law was passed, we were able to procure a lot of commodities, and they were all distributed to the health centers and made available to the clients needing them.
Ilam says before the 2012 law, government health facilities did not have the money to dispense contraceptives for free, and they relied on donations from other countries. For years, versions of the law were shot down by lawmakers who took the view of the Catholic Church that contraception unnaturally ends life before it can begin. Last year, the Supreme Court struck down eight provisions but left the rest alone, including the arrangements for free contraceptives to the poor. But this June, the court placed a temporary restraining order on government distribution of certain implant contraceptives while it looks into a petition that claims they cause abortions. Ilam says the implant is the most popular form of birth control. The long, thin progesterone capsules are embedded under a woman's skin and prevent pregnancy for 3 years. Earlier this year, Sorsogon Mayor Sally Lee, who calls herself a devout Catholic, declared her city pro-life, using a clause stipulated by the Supreme Court that conscientious objectors are not compelled to dispense artificial contraceptives.
It's all about my conscience. It's all about living in harmony with nature. It's all about God. I don't have any argue with those things. I don't need to argue. It is just my commitment to God, to people, and to myself.
Lee says the city's public health centers promote the Catholic-sanctioned natural family planning and no longer provide free artificial contraception. Fabella's Dr. Esmeraldo Ilam says while the temporary hold on certain birth control is in place, health officials continue to travel the country to inform residents of all forms of family planning. Simone Orendine for VOA News, Manila.
This is VOA.
Here's Science in a Minute.
A group of scientists have discovered a new exoplanet they say resembles a young Jupiter,
Called 51 Eridani B, the gas giant is about 100 light years away, has twice the mass of Jupiter, orbits its star at a distance comparable to between Saturn and Uranus in our solar system, and is a youthful 20 million years old. By comparison, the Earth, Sun, and most other objects in our solar system are about 4.5 billion years old. The light from the exoplanet is very faint to begin with, and with its host star glowing at about 3 million times brighter, it would have been very difficult to make the discovery without some special equipment. The scientists were able to pick up on the faint planet and overcome the blinding luminosity of its star by using a specially designed device called the Gemini Planet Imager, or GPI. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is VOA's International Edition with me, Michael Lippin. Many of us who use portable communication devices usually don't have problems accessing an energy source to recharge them. But what about soldiers out in the field? Well, the U.S. Army is testing a new device that could enable portable recharging by harvesting energy from even the slightest breeze. My colleague Susan Yaki spoke with VOA technology correspondent George Putich about that electric charging device and asked him how it works.
It's a very interesting device for harvesting the energy from very low wind that cannot turn a turbine, but still has some power. So this new device actually harvests the energy of the wind and turns it into electricity of enough power to charge small electronic devices such as portable communication devices, smartphones, tablet computers, and such.
Well, how flexible is this to take out into the field? You know,
it's
where there might be
flexible.
Raining or muddy or jungle or whatever.
Yes, correct. What they had in mind is soldiers in the field, and where they obviously do not have always access to energy sources. So it's a light portable device that can be set up very quickly and can turn into the wind like a wind vane. So if you leave it overnight, for instance, it will charge its supercapacitor, which is another advanced technology for storing electricity. And obviously, during the day or during the night, you can connect your device and charge your batteries.
Well, this has been a problem for a long time since the technology age started. How come it's now that we're getting this? Was it advances that they've made that has brought this about?
That's very interesting. Actually, the technology has been around for a long time. As most of us know from high school, if you move a magnet through a coil of wire, it will actually induce some electric power. But the challenge was how to turn the fluttering of a strip of cloth in light wind, how to turn that into movement of the magnet through the coil. And that's what they managed to do, and it proved to be effective.
And that was VOA technology correspondent George Putich speaking with International Edition's Susan Yaki. Well, it's time for some entertainment news. Robin Thicke's hit song Blurred Lines put him on the pop music map, both for its popularity and the controversy it generated. Now Robin Thicke has a new album and has released the first single from it. International Edition's David Byrd spoke with Border Crossing's host Larry London about that track, Back Together.
You know his song Blurred Lines, and you know the controversy it generated, but Robin Thicke has a new song now, Back Together. Larry, this is his first tune since his second album, which didn't do too well.
That's right. 2013 was Blurred Lines, and then he followed that up a year later with an album called Paula, in a failed attempt to win back his then-estranged wife, Paula Patton, who's an actress. The two officially divorced this past year. And so now he's back. He's got another album called Morning Sun, and it's expected to be released before the end of this year. So we've got the first song off the new album.
And he has some help from some very famous friends.
Absolutely. Right? Timbaland, Max Martin, and he's working with his good friend Pharrell on the new album. They had great success on Blurred Lines, so why not do it again?
Didn't I rock with you all night? Wasn't it good enough? Don't lie. Didn't you tell me that I blew your mind? Brought out the animal in me. Nobody else could tame that beast. Why did you have to go and say goodbye? Now all I wanted...
Now, speaking of Blurred Lines, I understand that Marvin Gaye's family, the settlement between Robin Thicke and Pharrell and Marvin Gaye's family has changed.
That's right. It was $7.1 million, and Robin Thicke took it to court and contested the amount, and so the judge did amend the reward to $5.1 million. Marvin Gaye's family then said, hey, let's go back to court, and the judge said, not again. It's $5.1 million, and that's what the penalty will stand.
Okay, so now Robin Thicke is... Alan Thicke's son.
Yes, and Gloria Loring.
And Gloria Loring. Mm-hmm. And he did have a smash. I mean, two summers ago, Blurred Lines, every time you turned on the radio, you were hearing that song.
That song created controversy, if you remember. Twerking on the MTV Music Awards.
I do remember the twerking. I remember that with Miley Cyrus.
Right, right.
And several other young women in various stages of undress. But now, this tune, he has help from Nicki Minaj.
Yes, exactly. He also, by the way, didn't write this song. It was written by somebody else because people thought, well, back together, wouldn't that be another attempt to get Paula back? And he said, no. He said, I like the idea and the concept of the song, but no, I can't claim that I wrote it because I didn't. But Nicki Minaj does appear on this particular song. She's hot right now. She's on tour for her own album. She's getting a wax figure at Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. And she took time out to be in his video, which is looking very hot for this song. And she's on the single as well.
All right. Well, if you have any comment about Robin Thicke's new single, Back Together, you can hit Larry up at VOA underscore music. Also, you can listen for his show, Border Crossings. That's on our website, www.voanews.com. If you want to send a tweet to us here at International Edition, that's VOA underscore IE.
Robin, I get more than when they nodding. Kitty on fleek is popping. I'm Mary Poppins. Okay. Just for the record, that heart is what I'm copping. Blasting two pockets, some fishnet stockings. You know you missed this ride. M.I.S. just missed this pie. Used to call me Hillary cause I ride them. Ring, 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 ring. Put a ring on it or ding, da, ding, ding. Boy, your time's up. Where's your wind up? There's levels to this one. You should have climbed up.
Well, that does it for International Edition on The Voice of America. The show is brought to you by director Tracy Carter and engineer Carl Starling, as well as myself, Michael Lippin, in Washington. I'd love to hear from you on Twitter. You can find me at Michael underscore Lippin. Bye for now.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In late July, the Governing Council of the Community of Democracies unanimously endorsed the United States to serve as president for the next 2 years. The United States welcomes the opportunity to lead this important organization in its work of strengthening democratic values around the world. Speaking at the recent meeting of the Community of Democracies in El Salvador, U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor, Tom Malinowski, warned that democracy faces greater challenges today than at any point in recent memory. The challenge, he said, comes not just from old-fashioned methods like putting dissidents in jail. It is also evident in the spread of laws designed to make those methods appear legitimate, laws that prevent NGOs from seeking friends and funders abroad, that smother civil society beneath mountains of bureaucracy, and that criminalize dissent in the guise of fighting terrorism. As the U.S. assumes the presidency, one of our goals, said Assistant Secretary Malinowski, should be to work in concert through this community to roll back the proliferation of restrictions being placed on civil society. Democratic countries don't fear open debate and critical voices. We know they make us stronger. That's why President Obama has asked diplomats to stand with civil society all over the world, especially where it is under pressure. This will be a core principle of our presidency of the Community of Democracies. The U.S. will look to the community to support civil society at the UN through its NGO accreditation process and to oppose reprisals against civil society activists whose only crime is speaking to a UN official. All community countries should identify resolutions at the UN Human Rights Council and the General Assembly that they can work together to support, to uphold principles of freedom of expression and association. In that spirit, the United States is proud to take the chair of the community. We are on a new leg of the journey that started in Warsaw 15 years ago, said Assistant Secretary Malinowski. We continue to draw strength from the knowledge that our destination holds the highest values and the most noble hopes for humanity at its core.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.